I like that. I run to Christ. And if we can learn that, that will be such a big, big help to us in our lives. I want you to open up your Bibles here, Philippians chapter 3. That's where we're going to begin this morning, Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to just put in a plug for tonight. I've got a two-part message here. And I'm not going to get through it here this morning. If I were to go through the whole message this morning, we would not get out for lunch, and I don't know if you'd be really happy about that, but a lot of material that I want to give us, and so I want to encourage you to be back tonight and to come back this evening, 6 o'clock. We're going to give you part two this evening, and it's going to be really very, very important to what we're going to deal with this evening, and what we are taking this topic here this morning is keeping the past in the past. How do you keep the past in the past? And so many are destroyed by their past. And the past keeps them from moving forward, doing anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason I'm preaching this thought this morning is after I had the opportunity to do the eulogy for my father-in-law, learned a lot of things. I knew a lot, but a lot of things that I learned that I did not know as details were given to me. And if there was anyone that could have been destroyed by their past, it would have been him. But he learned to put the past in the past and moved forward to accomplish some great things for the Lord. And I've been blessed with a godly wife and family, and it's because of that choice that he made many years ago to keep the past in the past. And so I'm going to do a two-part series here tonight, or this morning and tonight, and just putting in that advertisement and kind of laying the foundation for the dynamite tonight, okay? So Philippians chapter 3, would you stand with me as we open up the Word of God? And we're going to look at a few verses here. And to pull a thought out, you're familiar with this because we've been preaching out of this passage of Scripture. This was the theme for our revival meeting. We've continued to lead this up because it's such a good theme. Verse number 10 starts, that I may know him. This is Paul's prayer, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Don't you like that? That's the plea of Paul. I want to know Jesus. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to love Jesus. I want to be a real Christian, is what Paul is saying. I want to make an impact for Christ. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either or already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't accomplished what my goal is. But this one thing I do, and I want to just pull this thought out here that you're familiar with because we've touched on this. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what Paul is expressing is, I'm not going to live in my past. I'm not going to let that past destroy the future. I'm going to press forward for the purpose that God has placed me upon this earth. I'm not going to live in the past. I'm going to forget that. And I'm going to press forward for the future to accomplish the will of God. I've got a race to run. And let me just state here this morning that God has for each and every one of you a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And he's got a plan for you. There's something that you can accomplish that nobody else can accomplish. The old devil will try to use your past to keep you from accomplishing what God has for you in your future. And with that, I would like us to go to the Lord in prayer. And if you would pray this morning, would you ask God to have his way in your life and in this service this morning? Father, I thank you this morning for this privilege, this opportunity that you've given us here today to open up the Word of God, to be in this place. You've already been so good to us. Just been challenged by these songs this morning on the blot, and just challenged by the fellowship, and we've been encouraged just by the presence of other Christians today. And Lord, as we open your word, I don't know any heart. I know that there's no accident, and that each person that is here this morning, you've got a perfect will, a good and acceptable will for their life. You've got a race for them to run. And I pray, Lord, that as we look into the Word of God, would you be our teacher today? Would you minister the Word at the very point of need? Would you have your way in this service? And then, Lord, help us to be open and receptive to what you give unto us, to, Lord, to be obedient to you today. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I want to just open here with a thought, an illustration, then look at something. I had the opportunity back in high school to run track, and I can remember many, many times our coach would tell us, don't look back. You look to the finish line. And I can remember actually witnessing in a track meet, a young man was ahead in the race, and he thought that he was going to win the race, and just before he crossed the finish line, he looked back, he broke his stride, and somebody passed him right at the end of the race. And our coach pointed out, that's why you don't look back. You push toward the finish line. You put your eyes on the mark. You put your eyes on the final of the race. And that's so very important, so crucial. Now, that statement we pulled out in verse number 13 is forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. And how many people are controlled by their past? They're controlled by past decisions or past defeats or past sin in their life, past relationships, even past victories in some cases kept somebody in a state of pride and unable to be used of the Lord in the future. And that past has them bound. And as we look at the life of Paul the Apostle, who wrote the book of Philippians, and he wrote it from the prison house, by the way, and it's one of the most joyful of all the books in the Bible. And it's very evident Paul in the prison house is not bitter. He was there falsely because of preaching the gospel, and he could have been bitter about that, but Paul did not allow that to control him. Instead, his life is filled with joy, and Paul is expressing, I had to do this. I had to put that past behind me so that I could press forward. I want for just a moment, I did tell you to go to the book of Deuteronomy, but before we go to the book of Deuteronomy, keep your place here in Philippians and go back with me to the book of Acts for just a moment. And I want to read some details of the past of Paul. See, Paul could have been bound and destroyed by his past. As you go to Acts chapter 7 with me for a moment this morning, Acts chapter 7, and in Acts chapter 7, in verse number 54, here is the stoning of Stephen. Stephen is preaching the gospel, and he has made some statements that have offended the Jews that are listening to him as he's preaching. And in verse number 54, just pick up with me, Acts 7, says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him, speaking of Stephen, with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried with a loud voice, and stopping their ears, ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses want you to see this. The witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now, this is the same man, later changed to Paul, that wrote the book of Philippians. And so we go on into Acts chapter 8. And it reads, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Stephen was stoned. Saul was complicit with that. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation for him. Notice in verse 3, as for Saul, He made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Now, here Saul is involved in persecuting Christians. He's involved in the murder of Stephen. He's involved in going into homes and imprisoning those who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of Saul, because of this persecution, Christians are scattered everywhere out of the city of Jerusalem. Now go to Acts chapter 9. Something happened in the life of Saul. And in Acts chapter 9, Saul was unshackled from this past. In verse number 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if any found any of the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go to the city. It shall be told thee what thou shalt do. And this is the conversion of Saul. And here at this point, he came to a crossroads in his life. I don't think he ever got over Stephen. He witnessed as Stephen's face shone as the face of an angel. He witnessed the victory with which Stephen died. I think that spoke to the heart of Saul. I think Saul saw in the life of Stephen something that he did not have. Saul had religion, but not a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this spoke to him. He never got over it. And here on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians, he meets the Lord Jesus Christ. And from this point, his life is transformed. His life is changed. And he is set free and becomes a child of God at this crossroads. Now go back with me to Philippians chapter 3 for just a moment. And Saul is giving his testimony. Now he is Paul the apostle. And he writes in verse number 7 of Philippians chapter 3, But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. His whole life has been transformed. And he said in verse number 10, that I may know him. Now he had persecuted Jesus. He had persecuted the way. But now he says, I want to know Jesus. I want to have that relationship with Jesus. Now, I want to give you a thought this morning before I get into the message. There's no doubt that Satan, after Saul was converted and became Paul, there's no doubt that Satan tried to use that past against Paul. Because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Now, just imagine with me for a moment after Paul is saved and how now he's having to deal with families and situations of his past. People that he had thrown into prison, a father or a husband that lost a job, and men and women that had to leave their homes in Jerusalem and flee elsewhere. And even those that perhaps because of Saul had lost a loved one that had been stoned or beaten brought to his death, martyred for the cause of Christ. And Saul would have to deal with that now, Paul. And there's no doubt that Satan wanted to use that in order to control the life of Paul, to put him living in the past. But Paul said, I had to forget those things, and I had to press on to the future. Many are defeated by their pasts. They don't know how to deal with their past. Sometimes in the lives of individuals, past memories haunt them. Past memories control them, defeat them. Maybe past relationships or broken relationships or past abuses or things of the past, past failures. And those things come up and control a life. And I have given the story before, but it so well illustrates it. A brother and a sister were visiting grandma. And one day the brother and the sister were outside, and the brother threw a rock at grandma's duck. And he hit that duck, and it killed grandma's duck. And the sister says to her brother, Shame, shame. I'm going to tell grandma on you. And the brother says, please, please don't tell grandma. I'll do anything, but don't tell grandma. Well, I won't tell grandma if you'll wash the dishes for me this week. And so here's brother that first night. He's washing the dishes for sister. And the next morning, the sister holds this over brother. And you got to wash the dishes, or I'm going to tell grandma. And this is going on all week. You got to wash the dishes tonight, or I'm going to tell grandma. And so all week, here's the brother washing the dishes because sister's holding this over him. And then finally, toward the end of the week, the brother's tired of it. He says, I'm not washing any more dishes. And sister says, I'm going to tell grandma. And he says, no, I'll tell grandma. He goes to grandma. He said, grandma, you know that duck that died? I just want you to know that I threw a rock and I killed the duck. And grandma said, I know. I saw it from the window. I knew what you did. I saw it the whole time. I wondered how long it was going to take you to come and be honest with me. Now, that's what happens so often, that past. We live under the control of that past. And not like, you know, some of you brothers would say, my sister is just like Satan, amen, holding my past over me. And here, holding that past over. And that's what Satan does with the past if you don't deal with the past. How can we keep the past in the past? How do you do it? I'm going to give you part one this morning, then part two tonight. But I again notice verse number 13 of Philippians chapter 3. Paul said, I had to forget those things which are behind and reach forth to those things which are before. I want with that thought for you to turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Because I think it's very important to get the full picture of how we can put the past in the past. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Now, you'll notice here, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting those things which are behind. But I want you to notice another thought here in the book of Deuteronomy. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have ever tried to put the past behind you, yet that old memory just keeps coming up, and you can't forget the past, and God's given to us a memory. And there are some things that we need to deal with. Look in Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Now, I want to read just a couple of verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, as the children of Israel are preparing to enter into the promised land, the Lord warns them and challenges them through Moses. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 2, the Lord says, thou shalt remember. Okay, now Paul said forgetting those things which are behind. But here, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. In verse number 11 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command thee this day. In verse number 18, we read, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, to walk after other gods, serve them, worship them. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. Now, it's an interesting contrast. How can we reconcile this? Paul says, forgetting the past, and here now as the children of Israel are entering into the promised land, Moses says to the children of Israel, thou shalt remember. So how do we recognize this? And in doing so, how do we keep the past in the past? Well, let me give you the first thought, and we'll give you the first couple of thoughts this morning, and then we're going to just give the full importance here this evening. The first thought that I want to give you is we can't change our past. You can't change your past. Some things in Paul's life couldn't be changed. Paul couldn't change his background. He was born into a Jewish home, a Jewish family. He was given a strict Pharisaical upbringing. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He mentions that In the book of Philippians chapter 3, he couldn't change the parents that God had given to him. He could not change his time in history. He couldn't change his genes. He couldn't change the fact that he was a male. He couldn't change as a Jew his hair color, his eye color, the temperament that he was given. There were details that God had instilled and given into the life of Paul, and Paul couldn't change that. Paul couldn't change past decisions. He couldn't change the fact that he had been present at the stoning of Stephen. He could not change the fact that he had persecuted and killed Christians in the past. And no amount of willing could take that away. He could not deny it. That was a part of his past. That was something that he could never get out of his life, that he could never get rid of. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, as Moses is writing to the second generation of the children of Israel, there are some things of the past that they could not change. And he's speaking now to a new generation. And this new generation is in the wilderness. And they're in the wilderness because of the rebellion of a previous generation. The first generation had disobeyed God. And now this second generation has spent 40 years in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 13 and 14 tell the story. God brought their forefathers to the edge of the wilderness. God told them to go in, but they rebelled. They said, there are giants in the land. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way that we can conquer. And it was Caleb and Joshua that said, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God's on our side, we can defeat these giants. But the evil spies turned the heart of the congregation against the Lord. They rebelled against the Lord. The consequences, 40 years in the wilderness. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is writing to a group that has wandered in the wilderness because of the decisions of others. They couldn't change that past. But again, the thought this morning is, don't allow that past to defeat you and to control you. You got to keep the past in the past. Now, we can't change our past. Some things you can never change. You can never change your race. You need to be grateful for your background, your heritage, and who God made you to be. You can't change who your parents are, whether you like your parents or not. God gave you the parents that he wanted you to have. You can't change your siblings. That brother couldn't change who his sister was. They would hold it over grandma. You can't change your heritage. You can't change your time in history. Listen, this is very important in our day. You can't change your gender. God made them male, and God made them female. And despite all the efforts today and all the counseling today and all the hormone therapy and all the surgeries of our day, God made you to be who you are, and you can't change that. You can't change your genes and what color your hair is and your eye color and your height and your personality and your temperament. Those are things that God gave you. And there are some choices and decisions of your past that you can't change. And you may be like Paul. You did some foolish things in your past, and perhaps some things that haunt you today, and some things that, oh, you wished you could go back to that time, but you can never go back to that time, and you can never undo that which you did in the past in that sense. Those things you regret. Our choices of the past have brought us to where we are now. It's what the children of Israel found. It was those choices that brought them to where they were. And they had spent 40 years in the wilderness. They could not change that. My father-in-law had a favorite poem. I did not know that, but the poem was by Robert Frost. It was The Path Not Taken. And in that poem, it speaks of a why that comes in the road, and the path that you choose is going to determine the direction. It's that path that you choose that makes the difference, and speaks of coming to that crossroads and looking as far as he could down one path and then choosing the path that was less traveled, and those decisions. Perhaps you look back, and maybe in some of your lives you can look back and there were some good choices that you made. And you've received some great blessings that have come out of those good choices. And maybe you look back and there were some bad choices and there are some consequences. And I think most of us, we have had some good choices and we've had some bad choices. And we look back in the past and we can't go back and change that. And we are where we are today because of those choices of the past. Now, although you can't change that past, we can learn from the past, we can gain from the past, and we can find victory for the future in that past. You can't change the choices that others have made. And some of you are where you are today because of some choices that were made by maybe parents or grandparents or people of your past. And you can't change those. Those things have affected you. You think about this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the second generation out of Egypt. They're experiencing some things because of the choices of that first generation. I'm speaking today to some people, you've got some scars. There are some here today that have faced some abuses, some pains, some heartaches. And in some cases, it's the choices that others made. And you've been a part of that, and you've lived in that, and you've lived under that. And what I would say to you today is you can let that defeat you. You can live a life of bitterness. You can live a life of hatred. You can live under that past and in that bitterness, and you can be upset at what others have done, or you can use that past to teach you and to bring you to that perfect will that God has for you and to build in your life. I did the eulogy for my father-in-law because of some bad decisions of others in his life. He was forced to quit school after the eighth grade. He took a full-time job in order to support his mother and many younger siblings. And the neat thing about it, in that full-time job and all of that, he never got bitter. In fact, he saw that as his responsibility. The younger siblings called him daddy, basically. And he took care of them and he provided for them and provided for their living. He became a father to them. But there was one choice in the past that made all the difference. And going back to his teenage years, and in the midst of all of that, at Clear Creek Baptist Church, a little town in Tennessee, there was a time the Lord Jesus Christ came knocking at the door of his heart. And at an old-fashioned altar, he bowed his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that changed the past, and it changed the direction, and it helped him to put that past in the past and to move forward and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of that decision, many siblings got saved, and he had a brother just younger than him that became an independent Baptist pastor. He had others that in the family became deacons. He's got a niece that's on the mission field, and it goes back to a decision at Sandy Creek Baptist. You know, there were choices that others made, but it didn't defeat him and destroy him. God used it all together for the good. Never was controlled by that past, and though he did not graduate from high school in the service, drafted into the service, gained a GED, then later went on to New Mexico State and gained a business degree in college, not allowing the past to defeat. We can't change the past, but we can learn from the past, and that's so important. God gives us a memory. That memory can be a good thing, can't it? Great thing when you lose a loved one to have the memories of the past. Isn't that good? Neat thing to have the memory of salvation. Isn't that a blessing? If you've been born again to know that you have been saved. My father-in-law, I said in the eulogy, he never got over it, and that's what everybody said. He talked about Jesus. He loved to go back to that little town in Tennessee, loved to go back to Clear Creek Baptist Church where he got saved, and he would tell the story about how, as a teenager, he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. That was a fond memory. He never got over that. I sat down with my mother-in-law. She's struggling with dementia. A lot of things that she's not remembering. And in fact, you talk to her and 5 minutes later, the very same things that you talked about, they come up again. But I asked her, I said, Grandma, how did you get saved? Big smile comes on her face. She goes back to the day as an 11-year-old girl in a revival meeting, how she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. A lot of things she doesn't remember, but she sure remembers that time of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior that made a difference. See, memory can be a good thing, but memory can also be a difficult thing. Aren't there in all of us some memories that, boy, we'd just rather not have there? And those memories of the past, but God can use the good and God can use the bad to teach us some things and very important lessons that we can learn and gain. I think of one of the lessons that God teaches us from the past is that sin has consequences. Choices affect us. The wilderness journeys of the children of Israel, if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says, I need you to remember all the way which the Lord thy God had led thee in the wilderness this 40 years. He says that in Deuteronomy 8, verse number 2. Why was that so important? Well, that wilderness had been a result of choices, and they needed to remember that your choices have consequences. And parents, you understand the choices you make have consequences even for future generations. And if you would understand today, young people, the choices that you make are going to affect people of your future, and we need to learn that from the past. Sin has consequences. God uses the consequences to teach us. See, the wilderness was the discipline of God. And parents, I would also express in your home, your children, should be consequences as the result of their choices. And God says in Proverbs that parents were to use the rod and withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. And God is telling parents that you are to give those consequences. I think of Brother Wilkins. He said, I got saved because of a peach stem. He said, whenever I would disobey, Mom would go out to the peach tree and grab a peach stem. And I had the consequences of my disobedience. And he tells the story of being in the church and the Spirit of God knocking at his heart. And he said, I remembered Mom beating me with that peach stem, and I knew I couldn't disobey the Holy Spirit of God. And he went back into that building, and he attributed that salvation, that time coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. God disciplines his children. Aren't you grateful for that? Look in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 5, as he's talking to this generation. Thou shalt consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. And in Hebrews chapter 12, he tells us that the discipline of God yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And God wants us to learn from our past. He wants us to learn that sin has consequences. And in our own life, our own experiences. And I think back, one of my first memories in life, it goes back to a time I was with a babysitter. I'm just a little boy. And I remember this to this day. I remember the stove. We had one of those electric stoves, and the babysitter had made something, and that stove was still hot. But you know how it is after on that electric stove, the redness, and then that goes away. And I said, I still remember it's not hot. And babysitter said, yes, it is hot. And I took my thumb and I put my thumb on top of it, discovered real quickly it was hot. That was not a good experience. I learned a lesson. I know that you don't touch a stove, even if it doesn't look hot. That was a good lesson to learn. And God teaches us some lessons through those past experiences. A lot easier to learn through the experiences of others. A lot easier if I had listened to the babysitter. She said it's hot, and I would have just listened to that, a lot easier. But there were so many things I had to learn for myself and from my own mistakes. And so the past teaches us that sin has consequences. The past teaches us that God never fails. That a blessing. God never fails. The Lord never failed the children of Israel. In the wilderness, he taught them some lessons, and you can read through this. I don't have time here this morning to go through all of it, but he taught them humility. He said, remember all the way which the Lord thy God had led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. And God humbled them through the wilderness. And it's good that God builds humility in our life. God taught them and proved them. He said, I led you through the wilderness to, to prove you whether you would serve the Lord your God or no. And he taught them the importance in the wilderness of the word of God and how they were to cling to every word of God. And he taught them through the wilderness to depend upon him. He fed them with manna. He gave them water from the rock. He protected them from their enemies. And all of that was learned through the wilderness. And he taught them in the wilderness the importance of obedience to him and to his word. And so the past can teach us sin has consequences, but it can teach us that God never fails us. I think every one of us, if you're saved, you can look back and say, God never failed me. Even in the difficulties of my life, God never, ever failed. I think also the past can teach us that God has our good in mind. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 7. He says, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and depths that spring up out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass, and when thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. See, God had their good in mind all along. Can I say to you this morning that God has your good in mind? And maybe you can look back to the past and understand that in all the difficulties and all the good things and all the bad things, God was working to move you toward that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And only God can take the bad and work it for his good. I was able to visit with somebody that had faced some tremendous abuse in the past. And they were able to share with me how God had given them victory over that and how they were able to forgive the abusers and how out of that forgiveness they were able then to minister in the lives of others. Only God can do that. Only God can take the past and use it for his glory. We can't change our past, but we can learn from our past. And tonight, we're going to get to something that's so important. We cannot allow the past to control us. And I'm going to deal with some topics. I have found so many people, they get bitter. They leave good churches. They get bitter and hold a grudge. And that begins to control them. Or they failed in their past, and in that failure, they think that God could never use them. I think of one dear lady years ago. I opened the Word of God to this dear lady, and this lady says, oh, preacher, you don't understand. God could never forgive me. You don't know the things that I've done, the things that I've been through. God could never forgive me. And I was able to share with her the story of Paul the Apostle. Now, Paul had been present whenever Stephen was stoned and murdered, and how the old devil must have tried to hold that over Paul. And yet Paul found the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and all that past was forgiven, and he would never be controlled by that past, and he would write in Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind. See, here's the problem. I find a lot of people just don't know how to deal with sin. They don't know how to be like David and to come in Psalm 51 and cry out after David had failed with Bathsheba, and after David had failed with Uriah, and to cry out, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. And a lot of people don't know how to gain that cleansing and that victory over the past. That's what we're going to deal with tonight. I'd like for just a moment, every head bowed,